How do you keep yourself accountable for your goals and dreams? You could write them down in your journal or on a whiteboard and then look at them regularly. You could tell the world, because you know it will be a little bit embarrassing to admit you didn't achieve them. Another way to keep yourself accountable is to have an accountability buddy. What's that, Leanne? I'm glad you asked. An accountability buddy is someone you keep in touch with to share your aspirations, ask for advice, celebrate wins, and support your failures, or learnings, as I prefer to call them. In some cases, they might be a mentor. In others, like mine, there could be someone on a similar playing field who just gets you and everything you go through as a small business owner. My amazing accountability buddy is also a fellow copywriter, and I'm so excited to have Kate Merriweather on the show today. For almost a year, we've chatted on a fortnightly basis and developed a supportive and enjoyable friendship, despite living in two different states and only ever seeing each other face-to-face once. Today, we want to share with you some tips around setting up your own accountability buddy system. Well, system's a very loose term here, and make those goals and dreams come true. Rather than the usual interview style, Kate and I are kind of co-hosting this episode, and she's asking me some questions as well. Let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners, just like you, build trustworthy connections with ideal clients. And I do this through engaging conversational copywriting and strategic advice at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Kate Merriweather. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Woohoo! So I'll do a little intro for Kate. So as Melbourne's self-appointed favourite red-headed copywriter, Kate loves to write captivating, non-boring, give me more website content that truly connects with readers. Kate is a wordsmith who can take a few bullet points and turn it into insightful content that's clickable, shareable, and SEO friendly. Might just steal some of that. Now,
go ahead.
With more than 20 years of experience in marketing and PR, Kate has worked with clients such as Bendigo Bank, Emirates, Bunnings Warehouse, Telstra, City of Melbourne, and many others. Very impressive. When not freelancing, Kate enjoys watching bad reality TV such as The Bachelor. Oh, I can't believe it. As a proud owner of three daughters, one obese cat. Oh no, is that still the case? No.
No, he's no longer with us, sadly. My poor cat. Yeah. He's all right. He got a bit sick, so he had to go.
Yeah, he had a good life.
He did, yes.
But you've still got your Thermomix.
I've still got my Thermomix. Actually, my Thermomix is playing up as well. I'm not having a good week. The Thermomix is replaceable, unlike the cat.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, big investment, the Thermomix. I thought about it. I did do a demo. It was like going back a few years back. I'm like, oh, I really want one. But I just have to show myself I'll use my slow cooker, which has been sitting in the cupboard unused first, and then build up to it. So one day I'll get there.
What I'd say about the Thermomix, which is not what this podcast is about at all, but because it costs like $2,000 or something.
Yeah.
So you have to, you have to use it because you spent so much. So it's a bit like investing in a course of that price.
Yeah.
You've got skin in the game. So you just you can't just buy a $2,000 appliance and not use it. So it kind of forces you to use it. It is great. Like,
yes.
It's just, yeah, it's cool.
Very true. Like we were just talking offline how with my meetup group, because of we're going back face to face and we've had limitations with it all, and how I've made it $5, just which goes towards the coffee for people to come because we've only got 10 people that can go like join in one table. And it's funny because yesterday when I had it, time we're recording, I got there right at 10 o'clock when it starts, and there was already 8 faces waiting for me. So usually there's a lot of, you know, people pulling out, but that little bit of money skin in the game, I think just made all that difference.
Makes you commit.
Makes you commit.
Makes you commit.
100%. And on top of all that, with who Kate is, she is also my copy buddy, accountability buddy, whatever you want to call it. And we met via the Clever Copywriting School community, where we were then randomly matched up as support buddies. And I think it was a pretty good match. And then after months of chatting online, we finally met in person May last year at CopyCon, which was very cool. And it was just like, yeah, like I know this person. Like it was, it didn't feel like it was the first time we're meeting. So I think it's been about a year or so, maybe just under. We've chatted on the phone on a fortnightly basis, where we check in with each other on a business and personal level, and set goals, provide updates, and we've also referred work to each other when like our personal workloads have been too crazy. So I've really valued our relationship, and you know, I look forward to that phone call, and you know, for when we can chat about everything. work's a small proportion, but
that's right.
Would you like to share just a little bit more about your business journey?
Yeah, so I'm like Leanne, I'm a copywriter. My background is public relations, and I always loved the strategy and I loved writing press releases, but I didn't really love the hustling and contacting journalists and pitching in stories, and it's a really quite salesy position. I didn't like that side. And then when I had kids, I just thought I really like the writing side. So I gradually started writing content for people. And then it turned into my freelance career that I'm still doing. And over the years, I've done courses and learned SEO and things like that. And now I specialize in blog writing and website writing, which I enjoy. And it's a great lifestyle when you have young children, because you don't have a boss. You can work the hours you want. It's got a lot of freedom and a lot of flexibility, which is really appealing.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons I got into it too, that whole flexibility thing, and why I think so many business owners, especially parents, are now coming out of the woodwork. And maybe even, since COVID, if people have, you know, lost jobs or whatever, it's just, it just allows you to do all the stuff and try to wear all the hats as well as you can.
Yeah. And I can't imagine going back to having a boss now that I've been freelancing for 8 years. I enjoy my independence too much, and I enjoy making the decisions on my business. Like when I worked in PR, we might have to have, you know, a difficult client, and the boss would say, well, they're paying us a lot of money, so you just have to put up with it. Whereas when you work for yourself, you can just choose who you want to work with and only work with people who value you and respect you. And it's just so much nicer and enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so today we're talking about the whole how to create an accountability buddy system, like what we've done, and if anyone wants to do something similar, because it can be a very lonely journey when you're working by yourself. And unless you do have the funds for a business coach, you know, which I've only just invested in after 6 years in business, but just having that person who you can just get that second opinion, because sometimes our partners aren't always that best second opinion, especially if they're not in the same industry. So I just find that it does help with that. So I just want to get your opinion. Why do you think like we work so well together?
I think part of it is that, you know, X factor that we just click and we connect and we get along. But we also have the same business. So essentially we should be competitors, but because you're in Sydney and I'm in Melbourne and you specialize in health and wellness, whereas my specialty is, you know, a service driven in blogging, there's enough difference. And I think we both have that abundance mindset where we don't see each other as competitors. We see each other as colleagues. And the other thing is we're also at the same stage in our business. We're both mums. So we both know the juggle of being a mum and growing a business and wanting to kind of have it all, like have a successful business and be a mum. So we have that same mindset and we really understand where we're both at. So I think that's why it works well. I can't imagine having a copy buddy who was, you know, someone who, you know, late in their career, you know, a man who's got a wife who doesn't do anything at home or something like that. Not anything against that, but they're just totally different to me. So I think it's good to have someone who's in that similar stage as you are, as your accountability buddy.
Yeah, I guess otherwise then they're more like a mentor type thing, which is good too. Like if you can find that, like that's amazing, because a lot of the time if they're a mentor, they may request payment at some point or be very time poor after that far. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that definitely works in that way too. I think in some ways we do mentor each other though, because the things that you have more experience in and I don't. And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to ask you, so what do you think is like the secret formula to a good accountability buddy system for anyone wanting to set one up?
I think just keeping it simple would be my idea. When we first started, I created this really insane spreadsheet of all this stuff we're going to do. And Leanne looked at it and she was like, no.
I
don't think we ever looked at it again. Like I was making it way too complicated. And so just keeping it simple. So just agree how it's going to work. You have to let it evolve organically as well and just play around. Like it took us a while to get into the rhythm and, you know, how often we want to talk or how we want to do it. Some accountability buddies might just strictly business and keep nothing and just go, okay, this goal, this goal, this goal, where are you at? We do a little bit of that, but we just generally chat about what's going on and keep it quite casual. So it's about finding what works for you and your buddy. So it's about the frequency, the type of contact. We just message each other. We'll just tell, hey, I won this job, or hey, you know, this happened. So we do that as well. So just working out all those ways, but I'd start very simply and just let it evolve and just check in too with your buddy and go, is this still working for you? And then it should just be easy. Like it shouldn't be a chore. It should be something that you look forward to and is helpful. If it's just difficult, then it's not the right buddy.
Yeah. So if you find you're not feeling motivated to chat with them, or you're worried about judgment, or there's just some sort of misalignment there, then it's just not going to really work. Yeah. So you might have to experiment with different people if that's the case. But
yeah. I had a buddy before Leanne, and she just wasn't really interested. She just didn't really, we never set up a system like I have with Leanne, and she just didn't see the value of it, and it just kind of petered away, which is then when I started working with Leanne. So I think for people out there, Leanne, what would you say about how to find someone? We were lucky, we kind of got matched in a group that we were in, but not everyone might have that opportunity. So how would you find someone? It's quite a tricky thing to ask, maybe, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like, I think, as you know, I'm a big networking person, and I think that would be a good place to start, because, you know, I used to freak out when I was in a networking event and there was someone who was in the same industry as me. Actually, hi, Rashida. I interviewed her. This guy listened to Rashida's episode of storytelling. Brilliant. But, you know, since we live fairly close to each other, we happened to be at the same networking event once. And back then, this is before the copywriting school, when I realized we're more like colleagues than competitors, I was just like eyeing her off going, I don't know how to like deal with her. And there was questions being asked about blogging, and she was answering it before I could because I was doing something else. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm the copywriter there. No. And it's funny how I changed the mindset. So like now, you know, if there was another copywriter in the room and I was looking for an accountability buddy, I would go up to them and, or even just not accountability buddy, just say, maybe we could collaborate on things. Like you and me, Kate, you know, we've offloaded work to each other. I think you've given me more than I have to you, but that can hopefully change soon. But yeah, so I think it's just, don't feel like anyone in your industry is a competitor first and foremost when you see them at networking events. But I think that's a really good spot, as well as, you know, even Facebook groups, like, you know, those business Facebook groups you're probably all in, and you could just ask the question.
Yeah, just ask in a Facebook group is a great idea. And if you're in a group that is the right, you know, type of people, that they're all, you know, female startups or whatever it might be, or psychology practice owners, or any kind of group. There's a group for all sorts of, like I'm in a group for a local business. So if I wanted someone local, I could easily just put in that group. Does anyone want an accountability buddy? And then you just fish around till you get your person.
And I reckon if you put that post up, probably other people are like, that's a great idea. I want one too. It'll turn to red.
Yeah.
The admin are okay with that. But yeah, so I think a lot of people would be interested in that actually. So I would just ask, like, that's kind of one of my mantras. Just ask.
Worst just ask.
You don't get crickets and no one responds and you go to the next group.
Yeah. And you think, well, if you're okay with that, then who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Just
yeah, us. And just say, I just want someone who can just touch base with. We can work out how often. Like, just keep it casual in your request. And even if you're in slightly different industries, but you're at the same, yeah, you're both startups, for example. You know, that could still work really well. Or you're both about to enter the growth phase. Slightly, I wouldn't do maybe someone who's in the automotive industry with someone who's a, you know, in a counselor like. That's probably not going to
mind. Unless they can, similar, you know? Unless they've got the skills that you know, like it might be good to have like a designer and a web developer or like similar exchange. But non-competing businesses. But then maybe someone from a totally different industry would give you a whole new perspective as well. So there could be other opportunities there too.
Yeah, I agree. You never know. And there's so many different ways you can make it work. And it could just be, touch base via Messenger or email or something, right? Like you don't have to overcomplicate it. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that, like on creating a schedule that works?
I think, again, just keeping it simple. Like we chat every Wednesday each fortnight and we just have it in the diary and Leanne always calls me. I never call Leanne.
I think you do sometimes.
Why is that? Because Leanne's more organized than me and I don't keep track of time and I'm like, it's time to talk to Leanne. So I would just test in. I think fortnightly works. I would definitely start with fortnightly as a test because you don't want to be too onerous. And just check, I would start with something like that and then just, test it for a month or two and then see what's working. Most people could probably get away with half an hour. It's just that you and I are chatterboxes. So that's why we do an hour.
It goes by so quick. It's always like, oh, my gosh, like, look at the time. And I mean, we do have it over lunchtime, so I have my lunch and we're usually munching.
Yeah, we're eating. Pretty gross, really, but we both do it to each other. Like, we'll be like, I'm eating. I've got it, someone has to talk because the other one's eating.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lunch break chat. It's just like, you have your lunch break in the park. Well, we do it over the phone, having our yummy food. That's right. So with the copywriting community school before I left, there was a bit of a shape up with the copy buddies and I was allocated a new person and I think you were as well.
I was.
And so my new person, hi Justine, we started doing the fortnightly thing, but it didn't start – it was no longer working out with our schedules. Like I'd have it locked in and she would be like, oh, I've got this deadline or whatever. So we've now just recently decided, how about we just touch base when we need to get feedback from each other? And so that's totally fine too, as long as you don't forget about it and 3 months have gone by and you realize no one's touched base. So that's fine too. If you just like, when I just need that person, just run a new idea past, that's the person I go to.
That's a really good idea as well. As long as you say that you're actually doing it, because then it becomes of no value to you. Yeah. What do you think in terms of commitment? Like we've always kept it pretty fluid, but what do you think people should expect or ask of people?
Yeah. I think it just comes down to what you both want, I reckon. It comes down to your goals. And if you both, we have very loose goals that we set ourselves. But if, you could be like, all right, I want to have this done by the end of this week. So you might then touch base at the end of that week just for that particular thing. It could just, like I said, just keep it more casual and go, all right, well, let's just touch base every month, just a text message or something like that. I think it comes down to what you both want and your personalities. And because I think our arrangement is on the phone thing, because originally it was just kind of chatting casually online. It was, I'd read a book and I can't remember which book it was now. I think it was something to do with, finding the right people in your circle. And I'm like, well, I've got this person as a cheerleader and this person, I think, Kate would be really good as accountability buddy. And so that kind of gave me that idea. And I said, all right, let's lock this into the diary. So we have this thing that we always do. We always show up. And I'm big with my Google Calendar. That's why I'm always on time, because it get reminders pop up at me. But yeah, so I think it just, you need both to be on the same page.
Yeah.
So I thought, yes, just, as you probably all realize this, but yeah, we thought it'd be more like a conversation, both asking each other questions rather than just me today, because we're usually like that. Now, I thought now what we'd do is talk about some tips when it comes to having an accountability buddy. And so, Kate, you can give a few answers, and then I can give a few answers, and I think we'll cover most things there. So first of all, what are your tips when it comes to having an accountability buddy?
I would start small, because we've taken a year or so to get to where we are, where we're completely honest, sharing things like finances and all that. And that's not something that you might want to share immediately with someone. So just start small and then build up gradually, like let it evolve organically. And you want to be able to feel that, like, you can trust that person, and that takes time. It's like any kind of relationship. You meet someone, you get to know each other, and then slowly you start to open up. So if you treat it like that and be understanding about the other person, you know, like with my first accountability buddy, like that's what I wanted to achieve, but she just didn't value it like I did, and it didn't work out. So, and in the end, like, it was better for me to find someone else than continue on with someone who just wasn't willing to commit. it's like finding a partner. Like, I was chasing after someone that didn't want me, but now I've done better.
We're practically married now. Yeah.
So that's those two, I'd say. Start small and just be patient with, and gradually build up trust. The other thing I'd say is around it, you shouldn't be treating your buddy's not a coach, like a paid coach that you can just, like a paid coach, if you're in that one-on-one, and Leanne, you probably know better than me, because I've actually never worked with a paid, like, one-on-one coach. But a one-on-one coach, it's all about you, and you pay the money and they listen to you and they help you build your strategy. And with an accountability buddy, it's really give and take. So I think if you're aiming to give more than you take, and not just, you know, ask them for all their advice and then not do the same for them. So if you focus on supporting the other person more than, you know, taking from them, I think that's always a great way to strengthen the relationship.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think we're pretty good at that. We always go, oh, enough about me. Tell me what's been going on with you. And so we're pretty good at, like, handing it over to the other person. And I think that just happens naturally anyway in our conversation now. And I think, yeah, we also, like, we're giving also, like, personal support. Like, you know, you've been in Melbourne in lockdown, right? And so I've just been that ear for you to rant to, and it's been fine, you know, because I've really felt for you, and I feel like kind of guilty, right?
Well, it's been hard, but I wouldn't wish it. Like, I'm glad it's not everyone. Like, I'm glad that you're in Sydney, and you're like, because that's what you, like, people in Melbourne, they're like, we can see that it's working in Sydney, and we want to, like, Sydney becomes like a goal that we want to achieve in Melbourne. When we're getting there, we're at the end, hopefully we're at the end.
Yes, I know, right? I really agree with those points, and you just don't expect too much initially as well. We did that anyway. We put that spreadsheet, and then that just fell off. We just had our chats going, oh yeah, I haven't looked at that spreadsheet since our last chat. Yeah, okay. I think even so, we're still in the last 5 minutes of our chat going, oh, quickly, what are our goals?
What's your goal? Yeah, quick, what's your goal for the next fortnight? I do use that and think, oh, I've got to do that by Wednesday, because I know Leanne is going to ask me, which is the actual whole purpose of it, is to say, because I know she's going to go, well, did you put that website page up that you said you were going to do?
I mean, I'm nice about it, right?
Normally you're like, no, I haven't done it. We had a phase where Leanne, I'd have one goal and Leanne would have about six.
Yeah.
Which Leanne would say, I'm going to do this. And I'd think, are you really going to do all of that, Leanne? But now we just have one thing, because we've learned, like, everyone has that massive to-do list, and you think, oh, I can do all that in a fortnight. Especially when you're a busy mum with kids and a life and a thriving business.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the client work comes first. So all the stuff that we talk about is not the client work. It's the growing the business. It's the on the business work. So it's the boosting your website or doing your podcast or pitching for a speaking gig or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sometimes you only fit one thing in a fortnight, or maybe two if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Among everything else.
Clients that are paying you to do work has to come first. So we don't have those as, you know, to-do lists because they're a given.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think as well, we made our list too long then. Well, I know I was guilty of this, come back with all the reasons why I didn't do it, and it'd be like an excuse thing. And it's like, no. So yeah, we're just like, I can't remember our thing. I think, yeah, yours is a website plan for our next chat. I can't remember what mine was. I think it was just, I can't remember what it was now. Build up my membership maybe. But yeah, it's a lot easier when that's how we do it.
I remember what it was. It was to do your membership sales page.
That's right, membership sales page. I do plan to do that. Hopefully by the time this goes live, it's all up, everyone. Sorry, you can look at me accountable. I've said it now, it has to happen. Okay, so my tips, like be flexible. Like I said, you know, if the fortnightly, you originally agree with it and then it doesn't, you know, happen, it's just too much for one person or one, I mean, we've changed time slots around when things don't match up. So be willing to be flexible with the other person and then they'll be flexible with you.
Yeah. Having said that, we generally stick to our slotted time.
Yeah.
Don't we? Like, it's quite rare that one of us will, obviously it comes up from time to time. So we both give it that importance.
Yes. Yeah, we're probably.
Because if it keeps shuffling around all the time, you're never going to land on a spot.
I agree. I think it's good that we're with us lunchtime because it forces us to have a lunch break too. And I think both of us have occasionally gone for walks during our chat.
Yes.
And so we've gone to exercise as well. So that might be what you want to do if you're like, oh, I can't just take away that hour of my day. If you use that time for exercise, it's kind of like, you know, killing two birds, one stone, have your accountability chat and your exercise and yeah, that could be potentially an hour of a walk that you get in, which would be really
definitely
good. I think, yes, I mentioned as well, like find a mode of communication that works best for you. So you might just want to be checking in via text or messenger or phone call or Zoom. Like we never really bother with Zoom. Like this is our first time we've done Zoom and I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the first time we've done Zoom. Apart from, copywriting group chats and stuff. But, yeah, maybe you want to do Zoom and so you can actually see them face-to-face and or you might even, if you live locally to each other, meet up face-to-face, right? So you might go, all right, we'll have that fortnightly coffee or fortnightly lunch. Once again, you've got to eat, right? And chat over your stuff and you can have a pen and paper if you like to have that all structured out, your agenda, if you really want to do the agenda thing.
Some people do.
Some do, right? So if the agenda thing's for you, or just have some notes and just walk away going, all right, this is what I'm going to work on for the next 2 weeks. Great. Maybe we'll touch base in a week's time and see where we're at. And then otherwise we'll have our coffee again.
That's a good idea. We should probably do that. We should probably like force each other to check in, you know.
We probably should.
Midweek. We should do a lot of things, Lan.
Just add it to the to-do list. and I think, I want to add it as well as another tip. Like, don't jump into business mode. I mean, we never do, and sometimes business mode's at the very end. But, you know, I think it's so important to bond on that personal level as well. Like, you know, like we have and we know about our kids and we've, you know, because your kids are slightly older than mine, so you've given me some all good girls.
Yeah, five girls between us.
So you've given me some feedback based on what I can expect in the next few years, which is fun and scary. And yeah, so I've really bonded on, you know, at the business level. And like I was saying, you know, we've referred work to each other as well because we've known where we're at. And so I knew that, for example, Kate was quieting down with work during COVID. But now that kids have gone back to school, I know that, okay, I can ask her to do some, you know, help me with blogs again and things like that. And I think just as COVID was hitting, she knew that I had a very quiet period at that time. And so she handed over an awesome job doing a lot of product descriptions over like 7 or 8 weeks.
That's right.
And it was mundane, but hey, it was an amazing support because I had some regular income for the and regular work for that bit. So we're just by knowing us our circumstances. And I guess if you aren't in the exact same industry and slightly different, like for example, a copywriter and a website designer, if you know work's a bit quiet for them and you hear someone Yeah, you know, it can be like a referral partner is another term that's thrown around. So they could be like a referral partner and just work with the same audience. And therefore, you could also refer jobs to them, things like that. So
yeah, exactly.
Lots of different ways you can make it work. Anything else you wanted to kind of cover? I think we cover most of it.
I think we're lucky that it kind of evolved the way it did. It evolved quite naturally, but there's no reason that anyone listening couldn't just take this model and use it to create something really great. And it's super helpful. I think I'll just reiterate what Leanne said at the start, because your husband will only listen for so long, in my opinion.
Yes.
And like your husband, my husband, he works in corporate, so he's not a, he doesn't understand the freelance life. He's never had a client. He's never had all those issues. So as supportive as he is, he's not in the same boat as me at all, whereas Leanne understands. So there's stuff that Leanne knows about that I haven't bothered telling my husband, or just say, oh, this happened. But Leanne knows like the whole story. So it's super important, particularly when you work alone, only if you've got staff, like you're still the leader and, you know, they're looking to you to make the decision, whereas an accountability buddy is just an equal.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, especially with the freelance thing, because, yeah, my husband doesn't work freelance, so he doesn't get what it's all like. And so someone who really gets the journey, gets the drama, gets the ups and downs.
Add that I'm not very interested in my husband's job either. So I don't want to criticize him without saying yes, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear too much about his workplace either. So it's just how spouses are, I suppose.
Yeah, it's all fair. Cool. And so what I always ask my guests, Kate, is how do they manage? So how do you manage your health and wellness?
Badly, I would say. Oh, it's been a tricky time coming out of lockdown. So I think my health hasn't been a huge priority. But what I do is I try and do 10,000 steps a day. And that really helps. I definitely notice the difference when I haven't gotten active. You just start to feel a bit lethargic, I think. And the other thing I do is I set a bedtime alarm. So I've got a Fitbit on my wrist and the alarm goes off to go to bed. And that has helped with the sleep, because I was getting into bad habits of staying up late at night and then struggling to get to sleep. And now that I have the bedtime alarm, I definitely sleep much better. So they're probably my two things.
What time does your bedtime alarm go off?
Well, I set it at 9:30 and then I have another one at 10. So at 9:30, it's time to just start winding down and do the kind of bedtime routine. Like I have this sleep drink that's like a powder. It's like, it's like a powder. I'll show it to you in a minute. But so that's at 9:30, I'll like make my drink and have that and like, you know, wash my face and all those sorts of things. And then by 10 o'clock, it's time to kind of get in bed. But I do read a book in bed and things like that. So I probably don't go to sleep at that time, but that's just my signal to start the bedtime routine.
I love that. A bedtime alarm. I've never heard of that, but that's really cool. I should probably, I mean, I guess I subconsciously do that anyway. Like my chill out times on the couch, watching Netflix and my hubby at night, and usually like he can stay awake to midnight easily. I can't, but I think it's, I'm like mentally, oh, it's so that, I guess that's my wind down time, but it's still using screens. So maybe not. But yeah, I'm at 10:30. Okay. 10:30. That's kind of my cutoff point. That's when I have to now be in bed, sometimes earlier, but I do like that actual alarm to go, all right, now's the time to wind down. Because you forget, if you just absorbed in a TV show or something, like The Bachelor. I shouldn't.
Oh, it's such a good show. It's hard to defend. It's hard to defend. I can't really. I think it started when I had young babies and I just was in that really depleted state where I couldn't cope with, like, I watched one episode of Game of Thrones and I was just found it overwhelming and complicated. Whereas The Bachelor, like, it's just easy. Like, it's. It doesn't take a lot of thought.
I get that.
Brain cells.
Be honest, I haven't haven't watched it ever before because I know I probably will get sucked into it. I get little updates because I watch Have You Been Paying Attention every Monday night.
Yes.
And that's also how I get my news for the week, with humor. It's the only way I get my news.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way.
Yeah.
And that's usually because same channel, they're promoting it, blah, blah. They've always got stuff about The Bachelor. And I'm basing it on the snippets they give. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
It's not a good show and it's not it's not a good show as a feminist to support, but I don't know. I still watch it. And I say to my husband, I'm not watching it anymore because it's rubbish. And I just keep watching it. And I've watched every season. I've watched The Bachelorette. I've watched Bachelor in Paradise. I'm hopeless. So now I just accept that's what I own it. You know, just this is, for some reason, this is what I do.
Yeah, we've all got those shows. Right. And how can people connect with you, Kate?
Put a lot of content on LinkedIn. That's like my favorite platform. So you can find me on LinkedIn at Kate Merriweather. And I also am occasionally on Instagram at kate_.comwords. And my website is at .comwords. And they're probably the main places.
Awesome. Yeah, Kate's been doing so well with LinkedIn. I know you've been experimenting a lot with that lately. And I'm loving all your posts. Like, I'm like, oh, that's, I never would have thought to write about that. And her videos, like she's doing videos. So that's awesome as well.
Yes, I do lots of videos. My tip for videos is to make the videos and don't watch them. Because if you watch them back, you'd just be horrified. And well, I would, I know. So I just think feel the video fear and do it anyway. That's my approach.
Yeah, I'm the same. I can't watch myself back. I don't even listen back to these podcast episodes, honestly, unless I had to get something edited. I send it off editing. They tell me it's all good. I go, yep, cool, and upload it. So please tell me if anything is wrong with an episode, because I don't listen back because I don't want to hear myself and be, you know, critical. So yes, even someone who's talking a lot and I do a lot of videos too, I also don't watch or listen back. So there you go.
There's your tip.
That's my tip. So yes, thank you so much for joining us today. I loved it. I mean, I always love our chats anyway, but we had some actual structure today.
We did.
We did well. But yeah, thank you so much. And I will, chat to you very soon.
Cool. Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you. And thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you listen to the podcast. And that's how you found me. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.